Welcome everybody to Healing School. Glory to God. Another gorgeous Thursday morning here in Middle Georgia at High Point Church, where the Holy Spirit is present and so are we. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, go ahead and come with me to Romans chapter 1, and we will get our kickoff scripture. Before I read it, I just want to give it a little introduction, I suppose. Okay. So we talked weeks ago about when we pray, if we don't see right away what we prayed for, what could be the problem? And we talked that soon as we ask, God immediately says yes. It's not even a question if he's going to do it or if he's willing. It's always a yes. And we gave scriptures to verify every bit of that so that we can get our souls rested, that whatever we ask of God, according to his will, he hears us and he grants us the petitions of our prayers. So we got that settled. But sometimes, like in Daniel, there's a demonic hindrance that blocks that from being received. And so that's the first thing, is sometimes we don't receive what we prayed for because demonic hindrances. We also talked about that sometimes we don't receive what we ask for because we don't really believe we're going to get it. We have doubt in our hearts. And even though we ask, we don't actually believe it's going to happen. And so therefore, we don't receive it. So today is the third phase on why we might not receive the answers to our prayers. And this one is because of a dull or hard heart. So let's go to Romans and see what Paul was talking about in verse 22. Romans chapter 1, verse 22. And that's going to be our jump off scripture. Okay. So bear with me. I'm using a brand new Bible again. And the pages stick together there. I haven't read every page in this Bible yet. All right, Romans chapter 1 and verse 22. I'm almost there. Here it is. I'm going to start in 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, that's God's, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their own thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Let me go on. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image, an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So Paul's talking about that man who knew God. Lots of people say they know God. Okay, but we're going to talk about a condition of a heart, a dull heart is what we're talking about. And that can sneak up on people. That can be laying there, and we can say we love God and we know God and we do all kinds of things and still have a dull heart. So we're going to talk about that. What they did was they stopped glorifying God as God, and they stopped being thankful in their hearts. And because of that, it darkened their minds, which made them distant from God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll look at 17 and 18 and establish this. How many of y'all ever use a new Bible? Everything's a lot closer in a new Bible, you know? In an old Bible you use all the time, the pages somehow get thicker, you know? And things think further apart. But in a new Bible, boy, those books are right next to each other, aren't they? Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Here we go. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, being a stranger to the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So, this third reason of why we sometimes don't receive what we're believing God for is because we're strangers to the life of God. Our hearts are dull, closed off, empty, ignorant, however you want to say it. It seems like there's a distance between us and the vital life of God. And it seems like he's separate from us. That is a condition of our heart, not a distance. Does that make sense? It's a condition of dullness or waxiness or callousness because we haven't really magnified God. We aren't in a lifestyle of magnifying God as God and being thankful for everything. So let's talk about that for a minute. Okay, enough with the reason, and let's see some examples. Jesus, look in Matthew with me. Matthew 13. And we'll hang here for just a minute. Okay, in Matthew 13, and starting in verse 14, Jesus is talking about all the people that when he showed up on the scene. Now, these people were God's chosen people. They lived a life of rules and regulations. They were obedient. They gave sacrifices. They gave offerings. They tithed. They ministered. They did all kinds of things, okay? This was a normal lifestyle for them, being obedient to God. Normal lifestyle of living unto the Lord. Every morning when they got up, they spoke their psalms. During the day, they were reciting the Bible, which was the Old Testament at that time. They were always concerned with sacrifices and sin and paying for that and getting clean before. Very routine. They were very religious, dedicated people to God. And this is what he said to them. He says, "And to them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing, you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, lest their eyes, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, look, so that I should heal them.'" So Jesus is not putting the condition of the healing on his willingness or his ability or his timing. He's putting the healing on them for the condition of their heart, eyes, and ears on whether or not they could receive it. So, "Well, Lord, you're the one that opens my eyes. You're the one that opens my ears. You're the one that opens my heart. It's up to you. If my heart is hard, then you're the only one that can soften my heart." That's not true. Go with me to Proverbs 16. In Proverbs 16, verse 1, it says this: "The preparation of the heart belongs to God." Well, there it is. No, that's not what it says. No, it's not. It says the preparation of the heart belongs to man. Not to God, but to you and to me. "But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." So it's up to you and I to open our eyes, to open our ears, and to wake up our hearts to be able to understand and not be dull. So let's go back into Matthew 13 and take a look at this parable, what Jesus talks about. And that is the explanation of the sower. So in Matthew, am I going fast enough for you guys? Yeah. Or slow enough for you? Okay. First, let's go look at the parable in verse 18. If we were to continue, Jesus says, I'll hit 16 and we'll go down. It says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Praise the Lord. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So here's the parable of the sower. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away which was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. So they received the word, but because their heart wasn't prepared for it, the devil was able to snatch it away. It just fell away. It didn't make any impact whatsoever. But he who receives the seed on stony place, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Hallelujah, Pastor Robert. That's a wonderful word. I love it. Oh, that's life-changing revelation. Glory to God. Yet, as it has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. In other words, first time you pray for somebody and they don't get healed, or the pain gets even worse when you pray, it's like, oh, 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 what's going on? That doesn't work. God, where are you? They stumble because shallow, no root, no deep root in that word. 22. Now he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and he becomes unfruitful. And we know this one is being busy. Being busy. You hear it and it's true, but like on Sunday morning or maybe even Thursdays, by the time your stomach is digesting your lunch, you're not even thinking about what was spoken anymore. You're off doing your grocery list, your hair appointments. You got to go see the doctor or the attorney or whatever it is. And next thing you know, the cares of this world have crept in. Responsibilities, duties, the love of money, got to go make a dollar, that kind of stuff. Verse 23, but he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So, who decides what kind of ground our heart is? Hallelujah, we do. So if the ground determines the result, not the will of God, not the timing of God, not whether God's powerful enough or not, the condition of the heart determines how you receive from God. One of the three. Okay? A dull or a hardened, insensitive heart determines whether you're going to receive or not receive. And if it's hard, you won't receive. You can't, because you don't actually believe. It's not there yet. You don't actually believe. You hear it and you can recite it, but it hasn't reached the core being of who you are. And you know how you know what your core being is? This is a great way to tell. Here's a great way to know where you really stand. Are you ready? The more serious the trouble, the more clearly you can see your heart's condition. A little bit of trouble exposes a little bit of your heart's condition. A lot of pressure, pain, determines clearly what's in your heart. Are you with me? So, you can see how your heart is, whether you're dull and hard-hearted, whether you really believe God or not, or whether you're going to be like the cork that's tossed on the water and every wind of doctrine is going to push you around in one direction or another. Okay? So now how do we groom our hearts so that we don't have a hard heart, so that we don't have shallow gravel, so that we don't have thorns and thistles and the cares of this world? How do we get that good and noble ground? Well, I'm so glad that you ask. The answer is in Romans 1, verse 22. Let's go back to our first verse. And what did it say in Romans 1, verse 22? Do you guys remember? All right, we'll read it. They did not, says profess, verse 21, excuse me, because although they knew God, how many of y'all know God? Me too, I know him, praise the Lord. Lots of people say they know him, we do. Because they knew God, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So, is it because in this verse, is it clear enough to you to see that if we're not being thankful and glorifying God as God, the byproduct of that is darkness crowding in on us? Darkness crowds in on us, and it separates us from God because we've stopped glorifying God as God and being thankful in our hearts. And then they went on to say that they made God in their own image, in the image of a corruptible or perishable person. They think that God acts and feels and thinks the same way we do. They measured God by themselves, by who they are, by their perspective and point of view. And that allowed the darkness to separate them from God, because we can see our shortcomings. We can see our flaws. We know the stuff that's in us, right? So how do we resolve that? By being thankful and glorifying God as God. Okay, we can go now. Oh, there's part two. Let's get into the good stuff. Amen? So, this can happen, and especially I think what's happening by the Holy Spirit right now, and Judy, you testified it to this morning. She just woke up with this song, an old song in her heart. Because of the last 2 years of what I think that the country's and the world's been going through, there's been a real oppression on the people of God. There has been an oppression on the entire globe, and there's been a thickness in the atmosphere and an instability and not knowing what the truth is anymore, and all that kind of stuff's been happening, okay? And we've gone through that phase. Now we're entering the phase where we get our footing back again, we get solid again, and we start praising and thanking God and living a life that rejoices before the Lord, okay? So the country and the world went through the time of we got knocked in the face and we fell down. And then we were shaking our heads and seeing stars going, what just happened to me? And now we're standing back up and getting our footing set again and getting ready to stand. And what the Lord's put in on the hearts of people is that we have to be thankful and we have to rejoice and we have to glorify God as God. What that does is it brings us to an intimate relationship with God, an intimate awareness of him. It lifts us up from under the clouds in the tribulations to where the sun is always shining in his presence, because he is the light and we're seated with him in the light. So praise and thankfulness moves us into it. I have something I wrote down here which started this whole line of thinking for me to bring to you. And here's what I wrote. It'll probably mean more to me than it does to you, but I'll try to convey it to you in a meaningful manner. It says, being thankful leads the manifestation into being. Being thankful leads the manifestation into being, not asking. You would think that asking would be the thing that would initiate it coming into being. But no, asking begins the process, because a desire has been formed in your heart and then you do an ask. But being thankful is what allows it to become manifested into the material world. Thankfulness does. Not asking. And not even believing. Why? Think about this, you guys. The world is backwards from the way of God. If you have a job, you work your hours, and then you receive your pay, right? God's the opposite. He paid you first, and now you live on your pay. You do good works because you've already been paid. You're thankful because you've already been paid. Thanks only follows receiving. You can't thank genuinely until you got it. Think about it. If somebody gave you something, what do you say? A good person says, thank you. You don't say thank you before you ask them for it, do you? I don't. Do you? When you say thank you when you're grateful for what they gave you, right? So in the spiritual realm, having a genuine heart of thanks is what allows it to manifest in this natural material world. That's why God says you call things that be not as though they are. Right? You're thankful when you ask God because he always says yes. Therefore, you always get what you ask for. I know it's a praise God, but somehow it's just difficult for people to get this. Something is blocking a lot of people from being able to really understand this principle. That when you ask, you've received. Therefore, you have a thankful heart. So, let's bring it down to a practical application. And that's this. Lord, I got a pain in my leg. I ask you to heal my leg of whatever it is. I'm waiting. He hasn't done it yet. The pain's still there. I guess he didn't heal my leg. God doesn't hear my prayers. God doesn't heal every time because my leg hurts. My leg's still hurting. Yep, it's hurting bad. Oh, I think it's hurting worse than before I prayed. Oh my gosh. Now I'm limping because it's so bad. It's just getting worse. God, when are you going to heal my leg? It's still hurting. People do that. People don't understand what I just said. They don't get that by faith you ask, receiving what you asked for, with a thankful heart that God has absolutely given it to you with no proof of its existence whatsoever. This is the only way to please God. Without this way of thinking, you can't please God. Because first you must believe that he exists and then that he actually will give you what you're asking for. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This is a tough one, you guys. This is where we really got to work on ourselves. But what did Proverbs 16 say? 16:1. The heart's condition is up to you and me, not God. We're the ones that have to pull the rocks out of our ground. We're the ones that have to weed it. We're the ones that have to turn over the soil and get rid of the sticks and the rocks. We're the one that has to make the soil ready to receive an abundant crop. Don't we have to in the natural when we have a garden? It's no different in our heart. We have to, with all diligence, work on this thing to be able to believe God. We have to constantly be doing that. So, I'm going to show you where to find your spade, your shovel, and your pick so that you can do that stuff. Amen? All right. Psalms 100, verse 4. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Oh, here's another one. Psalm 69:30. Pastor Trey likes to use this one. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him. How? With thanksgiving. So by being thankful is how you make God larger in your sight. Praising him, singing to him, causes you to be able to come into his presence. Thanksgiving opens up the way to come into God's presence and to come into oneness with him. Okay. You know how the Bible talks about being thankful in everything? People get mixed up and they start thinking, okay, well, the devil's beating me up and this trouble's coming to my life, but I'm supposed to be thankful in everything. So, Lord, I don't understand, but thank you. I thank you. You guys, I want to give you a little secret. When we're thanking God in the good times and the bad times, we're not thanking him because we have good times or because we have bad times. It's not why we thank him. We thank him above the storm. We're seated with him in heavenly places. He has bestowed every spiritual blessing on us, like in Ephesians 1 verse 3 says. Okay? The answers to our prayers in him is yes, and in him amen. He delights in the prosperity of his servants. He's given us all things richly to enjoy. Those are all true. He has given us the power to gain wealth. He has, past tense, healed us by the stripes of Jesus. These things are all absolutely true. We can't let our experience dictate whether or not we're going to thank God. We can't. Because our experience is a result of what we really believe in our hearts. But see, so many people don't know that that's the truth, that our real belief system would actually create our destiny and our future. God wrote it all out, but our beliefs actually lead the paths of our lives. Our minds structure how we're going to do that, but our hearts determine our future, what we really believe. That's why God is so big on us grooming our hearts and believing him instead of what we see in this natural world. Because if we're looking at the natural world, it is the smoke, not the fire. It's the result, not the cause. But so many of us living in the flesh look at the natural world as our reality and our cause, rather than it's the effect of how I interact with God and what I believe in my heart. So he's made us new creations in Christ so that we can rise above these natural laws and ways of being and operate on a spiritual plane, which when we have a heart of thanksgiving, when we rejoice and when we sing to the Lord in the storm, what we're doing is saying the storm has no impact on me, God, or my relationship with you. Whether it's sunny or storming, you and I are one, and I believe you. Are you with me? That takes you and I grooming our hearts. We have to stay on it. It's like a wild horse that wants to run away, and we've got to rein it in. We have to rein it in. And I'll tell you, have you ever been on a wild horse? Somebody just used this example the other day. I think Pastor Trey did. And on a runaway horse, I've been on runaway horses. I've been thrown many, many times. And here's what you do. If your horse is running full blast and you're on it, hanging onto that horn for all you're worth, and just hoping you're not going to get thrown off and you're bouncing and that thing is going, what do? You grab one rein and pull it into your hip as hard as you can. And you take that horse's head and you pull it around back into its shoulder. And the horse has to stop, because he can't run in a tight circle. He can't do it. When you're in a dead run, you just pull that rein in, and that horse will slow right down and stop. If he doesn't tip over, he has to. He has no choice. It's the same way with you and me. When our minds are running away from us, when the experience is getting so dramatic and we start not knowing what's going to be up or down or right or left, God, where are you in all of this? We got to grab a hold of ourselves and pull real hard and jerk us out of that way of thinking, because it sweeps us away. It runs away with us. That is not good. So what we have to do is get in the mode of praising God, worshiping God, being thankful for who he is, and rise above the circumstances and live there. That means daily we've got to exercise that. We've got to deliberately groom our own hearts to be able to be in fellowship with God. If we don't, and our hearts are a stranger to the life of God, the darkness creeps in. It doesn't say seething sin will be the outcome of your life. That's not what it says. It says obscurity, futility. Inutility is that word. In other words, you can't really accomplish anything in the spirit. You can't really get anything that you want if you're not rejoicing and praising the Lord. Isn't there something in Proverbs? I think it's 17. Let me look and see if I wrote it down. Yes, I wrote it down. Proverbs 17:22. You guys might know this off the top of your head. What does it say? It says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. When we rejoice and we get excited about stuff, it lets life flow into us. But if we're under the weight and the pressures of this world, it dries our bones. It steals the life right out of us. Because, you know, what comes out of the bones? What makes the bones, what does it mean to have the wet bones? Your bones are where you create, they create the blood. Your blood comes out of your bones. Your bones are hollow and they have something called marrow in it, or marrow, inside the bone. And that is what creates the blood cells for you. And if your bones are dried, you don't create more blood, and the life is in the blood for the flesh. Does that make sense? So it robs you of life if your bones dry. Okay? A broken spirit dries your bones. But life and effervescence, joy, brings life into you. It's just a natural byproduct. So we can't say that life is making my life hard. We have to say my perspective is doing it. It's my perspective that creates life to be great or terrible. You know, there was this little girl, and it was Christmas time. And, you know, of course, you get your presents on Christmas time. And this girl was just a little Pollyanna. You know what Pollyanna is? Haley Mills in that movie. She always played the glad game. She always looked on the bright side. She was always very cheery and very up. What a wonderful little girl, so many of us would think. There were people that were going, I hate that Pollyanna. She's always so Miss Sunshine. Well, this little girl was having a birthday party, and she was always Miss Sunshine, like Pollyanna. And the dad said, this is ridiculous. I can't stand this. I got to do something about this. So for Christmas, did I say birthday? It's her Christmas. They were there, and they got a whole bunch of horse manure and took this horse manure and filled up this giant crate full of horse manure and then wrapped it and gave it to her. His dad's thinking, okay, this for sure will cause her to get the sour taste in her mouth. She opens up that crate and says, oh, boy, and starts digging into that crate and having the best time. And dad's going, how can you be happy over a crate full of horse manure? She goes, where there's manure, there's a horse. And so she was digging. It's not what happens, but it's how you label it, how you look at it, what your perspective is with what's going on. And if we are rejoicing, glorifying God as God, and thankful in our hearts and uplifted in our lives and point of views, what happens is your perspective changes. The Bible says, you know the word glory, doxa? You know that word? It's God's point of view. It's having God's point of view and his radiant splendor. So from having God's point of view, when you align your thoughts with his thoughts and get his point of view, his radiant splendor shines forth from you, his glory. Are you with me? It's not an old sourpuss who sits there and goes, oh God, I know you're good, Eeyore style, you know. Oh, if something bad will happen, it'll happen to me. But God, you're a good God. I guess you can do something good if you wanted to. You know what? You're not going to get nothing. You're not going to get nothing. But I'll tell you what. If you walk out of your house in the morning and go, look out, world, I'm awake, hallelujah. What good can I do today? And you get out there and the world is your oyster. Whatever you want to do, you can make happen because you are in fellowship with your good God, your heavenly Father. And you're rejoicing and thankful that the power and the life of God flows through you, that you're anointed and redeemed, that you're seated in heavenly places and every spiritual blessing is yours. Hallelujah. So instead of the world telling me how I'm supposed to be, I'm going to tell the world how it's going to be. And you start speaking into the heavens. You start speaking into the world. You start speaking into your life. You start speaking into your finances. You start speaking into your relationships. And you tell them how they're going to be. Because you're the son or daughter of the Most High God. And God moves through you. Amen. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are not a miserable worm who by God's great mercy he saved. You were, but the second his glory filled you, that's not your name anymore. Worm is not your name. Righteousness is. That's just the way it is. You're a son or daughter of God. If Jesus is the king, then at the very least, you're a princess or a prince. At the very worst, you're a princess or a prince. That's the worst you can be. That's just a fact. But if we don't walk in the identity that God has given to us, we can't receive the things from God because we're strangers to the life of God. The darkness and the futility of this world crowds into our minds and it starts diminishing our perspective of who we really are. And we start living according to that diminished perspective and we see less and less and less of the manifestations of the things of God, because the darkness crowds in. Because as the separation comes, we acknowledge the separation, which gives us more of what we just acknowledged, which creates more separation, which makes us acknowledge it even more, which makes it separate us even more. But if we'll take that rein to our head from that runaway horse, and we'll take that rein and we'll jerk it into our leg as hard as we can, that horse will flip its head around and it'll stop dead in his tracks, and then you can gain control of him again and make him obey you. That's you and me. Our heart's condition is in our hands, not God's and not the world's. Are you with me? Amen. So to receive from the Holy Spirit, to receive your prayer, to receive what it is that you wish to receive from God. Number three is the condition of your heart. A dull or a hard heart doesn't receive from God. But a heart that is rejoicing, thankful, acknowledging God in all of its ways, letting God and that joy in that life and that light direct its path. What can man do to me? God is with me. Amen. What can he do to me if God is with me? And when God is with me and I'm walking with the Lord and we're one spirit joined together, and since I live in the Spirit, I walk in the Spirit. And I won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh, like Galatians says. And then I start receiving whatever I ask for, because it's easy to believe when I'm walking in the full presence of God. Amen? Amen. All right, let me look and see if there's any scriptures here. None that are so important that I have to go over them again. But I'll do say this. Colossians 4:2. I should make a point of this one. Minton said this the other day in his own ways. It's continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Prayer is not only our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. That's not what prayer only is. It's recognizing God and being with him and applying your heart towards him with whatever it is, your requests, your praises, whatever they are. That's prayer. Okay? And I'll give you a little secret. Here's the last little thing before I turn you loose. How do you know that God heard you, or how do you know that God knows what you need or want? If you speak it clearly enough, some people get hung up on that. Here's how you know. It's what?
It's who God is.
It's who God is. Listen, whatever you're thinking, he hears it. Whatever you're picturing in your mind and seeing or in your eyeballs, he sees it too. So if you're just clear about it, he's clear about it. Then just ask. And guess what? If you're clear about it and you ask, guess what? You get it. It's yours. Wait a second. That's too powerful. Wait a minute. That's too big. That's too big. That's too hard. It's too simple. It's too good to be true. No, it can't just be that if I know what it is I want to ask and I ask it, that I get it. No, no way. There's no way my unregenerate, earthly, carnal soul can accept that. Because I know how fouled up I am, how flawed I am. Listen, all that's been dealt with in God, in Jesus Christ. That is not how God sees us. We're seated with him in heavenly places. We're completely one with him. We're clean. We're happy. We're at peace. Everything's good. He loves our company. That's the person God's dealing with. And they always get the answers to their prayers. Always. We can't let the world's perspective of who we are determine our ask. It's simply yes and amen. And that's why we learn to be thankful and we praise him and we rejoice always. Are you with me? Everybody stand up if you can. Let's take a second and do it. Okay. So now here's the thing. I don't want you to be confused and think that your demonstrative behavior determines how much power you're executing. It does, but it doesn't, okay? It's not only. But here's the thing. It's up to us to how free we want to be. It's up to you, and it's up to me. How free do you want to be? You determine it. And praise and vocal. David said, I will praise you and make shouts to you in the presence of the congregation. Right? That's in front of other people. It's in front of other people. And the more demonstrative, the more praising. I'm not saying get out there like crazy people and dance around a fire. That's not what I'm talking about. But listen, the more you break off the weights and the chains and are able to truly be free in front of God, that's what lets it out. That breaks the mold and shakes it off, okay? That gets that horse and reins it in so that you're in charge again. So let's go ahead and praise God for a minute or two in your own way, out loud though, with your own voice. And you can rejoice, you can be thankful, you can bless, you can glorify. But break free and let's take a minute, not pay attention to anybody else here, and let's glorify God, shall we? I'm going to turn off my mic and let's do it together. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, if you practice praising, practice being thankful, the atmosphere around us opens up because Psalms 24 says that we are the everlasting doors. We are the gates. And that when we open ourselves up, the Lord's presence flows out of us into the room around us. And the more we do that, the doubt that God is going to give us what we ask for is completely eradicated. The separation is completely removed. Amen? Amen. If anybody needs prayer, go ahead and come on up here. And we will pray for you, Minton and Pastor Trey and I. Love you guys. Have a blessed day.